I want to take a few moments tonight from God's Word, and then we're going to divide up to our prayer groups. I want to take you back this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just one verse of Scripture, and this, of course, falls right in line with what we've heard tonight from Miss Rose and her desire to be used of the Lord. Verse 15 says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. We looked at that phrase last time. The superlative is used here, very gladly. The idea of going beyond just glad, but going to the level of very glad. To spend and be spent. We looked at the original language, dapanao is the Greek word here, and it means to spend freely without withholding a penny. It means not to keep back, but to give out. And then to be spent is a compound word with the same root that we find in the first word, and it means to utterly be spent out or used up. Now, Paul's desire for the Corinthian believers was that he might be used up in order that they might follow after God and that they might bring glory to Him. Now, let's just remember about the Corinthian believers, what kind of people they were. The reason that 2 Corinthians was written was because the people of Corinth had believed a bunch of lies about the Apostle Paul. They'd been spread by Judaizers and spread by the enemies of Paul, and they had believed them. And instead of commending Paul to these false people that were lying about Paul, they believed the lies. And so Paul said, because you did not commend me, I'm forced to write to you and defend, first of all, my apostleship as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but also to clear up all of the lies and so forth. They are not true. And he lays out his testimony very clearly and then recalls for them how he had already been with them and he had not been a burden to them. If Paul's desire was financial, then he certainly didn't show it when he was there. What did Paul do? Well, he was a tent maker on the side. And he did not put any burdens on them financially. He made tents on the side, and that was how he got his money. And he was concerned about those people in Corinth that they might know Christ. And what did he determine among them? To preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We learned that in the first letter that was written to them. That was his desire, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this epistle is written as a defense to a people that believed the naysayers rather than their spiritual father. And that, of course, was a source of great discouragement for Paul. But still, he tells them in verse 15, and with every ounce of his being, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Now, I want you to see the second part of this phrase in the few minutes that we have. Though the more abundantly I love you, can you finish the phrase with me? The less I be loved. The less I be loved. Father, bless us now as we consider this phrase. I pray that you would work in our hearts and that we might consider this. So many times we think that we should operate our Christian life in response to those that appreciate us. We're going to be very disappointed in this world because there are very few that appreciate those who are sold out to Jesus Christ. There are very few that will extend an encouraging word to those who are completely devoted to the Savior. And so, Father, there must be a higher call. There must be something that is greater. And there is, of course, and that is your love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, you died. You became poor for us, leaving behind all the riches and the glories, leaving it all behind and coming to this earth. And so, Father, I pray that you would use this word to speak to our hearts tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This phrase is so interesting in the original language here. Though the more abundantly I, and we have the Greek word agape here, a root form or expanded form of this particular word, which means that it was not the phileo type of love, tender emotional type love that he was talking about, but rather the love of God that he had for them. These were not people that you naturally loved. You know, it's difficult when somebody sells you out, all right, and that's what this church had done. They had believed all of the gainsayers, they had believed all the lies, and they had just cut off all their support for Paul. They had cut off all of their desires to pray for him because they believed that he had come. He was a shyster. He was someone that had come to take their money, and he wasn't concerned because that's what these false prophets had said. And yet, Paul was able to put all that aside. He was able to put all that angst and all that anger that had been spilled out toward him from these people, and he was saying, you know what? Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I understand that. And he said, I still am very glad to spend and be spent. And then notice those two words, for you. This wasn't a generic term for Christians, you know, somewhere out in Asia. This is for the Corinthians, the ones who had believed the lies. Let me tell you something. Paul was full of the grace of God. Only a person filled with the grace of God could say something like this. You know what you and I need to seek after in our Christian life? We need to ask God to fill us with grace so that we can have that kind of an attitude. That even though He loved abundantly, He extended God's love toward them, the less they extended love toward Him. Now that teaches us something very important about Christian service. If you are in Christian service because of the praise you're going to receive, or the support that you're going to get from people, you will be very disappointed. You know what you need? You need God's grace. Many times I think people, we sing these songs, I'm happy, 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 happy all the time. I'm happy, happy. And you know what? Tisn't so. Tisn't so. You know, you've seen me and I've seen you. Okay? There's sometimes I kick myself. Sometimes I'll be in the hallway and I had to stop the other day, one of Miss Erickson's little boys in the bathroom. I just caught his paper. I was chugging down the hallway. I was on a mission. And I was on my mission and this little boy said, Mr. Brainerd. And I kept on walking. Then I got around the corner and I said, I think one of the children just called my name. I'm going to stop and go back and check on him. So I went back and I looked and I didn't see anybody. And Mrs. Erickson said, he's in the bathroom. So I walked over to the door. It was little Sean in the first grade. And he said, I'm the one that said Mr. Brainerd. Okay? I said, Sean, good to see you today at school and so forth like that. You know, you have to stop sometimes. We get in our little rut and we got to go do this right now or I'm going to forget and whatever. And we just blow right past people and we don't think anything about them because we got our mission to perform, right? Wait a minute, I thought our mission was people, right? Children, other co-workers, laborers in the field, missionaries. How often do we think about our missionaries? How often we take time to pray for somebody that we have in our prayer book, but just during the day, and doesn't have to be while you're doing it, the thought of the individual fleets by, stop right then and pray for them. It may be a prompting of God's Holy Spirit for you to pray at that moment. You might never know what's going on. You might not know that Buddy Fitzgerald's wife was being attacked by dogs at that moment. You don't know. Listen, we need to be sensitive in that regard. Paul was able to get past all the animosity, all the hurt feelings, all the difficulties that arose because of the support that had been cut off and all the work that he had done at Corinth seemed like it was just lying in ruins. And we might be tempted to think, well, that's all over with. That church is not going to make it. And yet, he was able to go back. He was able to minister there. He was able to communicate the Word of God, and God opened that door back up again because of his gracious attitude. Listen, you and I, and I want you to move past money, all right? When we're talking about this thing, we're talking about spiritual economics 101 when we talked about this passage. I want you to listen as I share with you very briefly the story of John Eliot. John Eliot came to the United States from England in the early 1600s, around 1629, 1630, some of that, before we were even a nation. Just a few years after the pilgrims came over. And you know what his desire was? He had heard from the early settlers that had come back to England about the Indians. And as a young man in his 20s, he became burdened for the Algonquin Indians of New York. And so he began to pray, Lord, what would you have me to do? And God put a burden on his heart to come to America at that time, the colonies, right before the time that we became a nation, almost 100 years or so before. And so he came and he began to minister. Oh, he worked very hard. He began to translate the Bible into the Algonquin tongue. He translated the hymn book into the Algonquin tongue and began to print those. The first Bible printed in the colonies was the Algonquin Bible, translated by John Eliot. John Eliot ministered for many, many years to the Indians, only to see almost the entire prayer villages wiped out by the King Philip's War that took place before the Revolutionary War. Almost every one of the tribes that he ministered in were wiped out by that battle, that war that took place. Most of the prayer villages that had been started were wiped out because the British did not trust the Indians, because the Indians had not joined with the British whenever they were there. They had joined with the French. And so that angered the British, and so many of these people were wiped out, and John Eliot was broken as he went to funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral as the bodies came back of the Indians and he had to preach their funerals. He was completely overwhelmed, but you know what he did? He started all over again with what was left. By the time he was in his 80s, in the 1680s, he was broken in health. He wasn't able to minister as he could, but he saw the plight of the Africans that were in Boston. He saw that many of them did not have a church. And so he said, I want to give you my property, 75 acres of land, just north of Boston, in Jamaica Plain. Some of you may be familiar with that area. 75 acres of land. He said, I want to build a church. I want to plant a church before I pass off this scene to reach out to the Africans that are there. And so he started an African work, and until his dying day, he preached, he proclaimed the Word of God, and saw many of them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had come to America with the wealth that had been passed down by his parents. His parents were very wealthy. By the time that he left this earthly scene, he had spent all. He'd spent all. The property didn't roll over to the children that went to help the Africans that were there in Boston, so that they would have a church home, that they would have a place to live, that they would have a place to build their houses. He gave that land to them in the church, and he built a church ministry there. And whenever he died in 1690, there was a large crowd of Africans that went to his funeral. He's buried in Jamaica Plain, just outside of Boston. And they were gathered there, and they began to sing hymns that they'd been taught by John Eliot. And they began to praise the Lord for this man that looked beyond color, looked beyond the status quo, and was very glad to spend and to be spent. What a wonderful testimony. I received this yesterday from my friend up in New Hampshire, Pastor Helgerson, who's retired now. He went to Jamaica Plain on Monday of this week. He said, I was so overwhelmed, I went to see the John Eliot Museum there, and he said there was a 91-year-old man who was the curator of the museum, and he told us this story, and he said, I wept as I heard about this man who was very glad to be spent and to spend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, Todd, I wanted you to have a copy of what I learned, and he sent that to me, and it was of the Lord, so I could share it with you tonight. Folks, God is looking for people who are willing to spend and to be spent. Going just past money, I don't want you to just think financially. I want you to think about your life, your energy, your talent. Have you put caps on all that? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be bothered with church ministry. I don't sing in a choir. I don't want to be bothered with any other ministries. I'll just be here at church on Sunday. You are cutting yourself out of the greatest blessings. I am looking forward to the day where I can stand with the Lord and I get to meet the Apostle Paul, aren't you? Haven't you been blessed by his life and ministry through the Holy Spirit of God? And then to meet a John Elliott that as a 20-something got burdened for the Algonquin Indians while he was in England, thinking about them in America, and said, I'll go and be a missionary. What a tremendous testimony. Are you willing to gladly spend and be spent, even though the more abundantly you love others, that love is not reciprocal at the same measure? You've got to get past that. Do I hear an amen? We got to get past that. Miss Rose has no guarantee of love from any of those students there in Peru. She has no idea what she faces there. She has no idea. Now, she's had some idea of being involved in educating those in Honduras here in Milton, but she has no idea. So she has to go and say, Lord, I will spend and be spent for you. And so I encourage you to pray for her, but I want you to pray for each other, and I want you to pray for our teenagers, that God would give them that kind of heart and a desire to be used of God. Precious Father, we thank you for this time together tonight. And we thank you, Father, for Miss Rose and her willingness to serve thee and to go wherever you want her to go. We do pray that you'd undertake for her and her new ministry in Peru. We pray, Father, that you would provide for her, that you would give her grace and strength to be able to transition quickly into her teaching role. And we pray, dear Father, that you would use her in a mighty way to reach her children in her classroom, but also the parents, be able to reach out into the community there as she works in this new church plant. And we pray, Father, that you would strengthen her for the purposes that you have for her. And Father, in that regard, we pray for our own young people. We desire for them to be open and receptive to thee. Lord, we have no idea what you have for them and what you have in store, but we pray that there would be a willingness and a submission to do whatever you want them to do. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be as Paul, to very gladly be to spend and to be spent. Even though the response may not be what we would like, that we would like to see greater love in response, but Father, you've not called us to that. You've called us to do what you want us to do. And so I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage our hearts. We ask now your special blessing upon us as we go our ways, watch over these people, and we pray, Father, that you would use us for your glory and for your praise, that we would be faithful witnesses for thee with those that we come in contact with, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.